And we go deep into the heart of the swamp, and we talk to our very good friend there representing Real Clear Politics, their White House correspondent, Philip Wegman, from here in the greater Fort Wayne area. Philip, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
It looks like that maybe there is a type of a preliminary vote happening today up on the Hill at 5:30. This is not the final vote on something. It's the vote that shows us something should be able to go forward. Is that confusing enough?
Yeah, nothing about this is easy.
So we're having this vote, and this is a vote at 5:30 today to say what? This vote will determine what?
So the vote is to advance a potential compromise that Joe Manchin has signed on to when it comes to voting rights legislation. The thing is, we already know how this is going to end. Senate Republicans have said, really since the moment Joe Biden got to town, that they were not going to allow any type of federal change to election law. They want this to remain a state issue. But the thing is, Joe Manchin has sort of given his blessing to a pared-down reform. It's not everything that Democrats had wanted, but it is, you know, it is something that you know, even President Obama could get behind. He told activists today during the call with one of his groups that he supported the effort. But in the end, I think what this might just be is another opportunity for Democrats to lay the blame at the feet of Republicans, but not actually pass anything.
Yeah. Can you imagine a scenario? Let's say that they vote to go ahead with this tonight. Let's say it's 50-50. Kamala stops cackling just long enough to go in and cast the tie-breaking vote. And so when she does that, we've really done nothing yet because that's just saying, yeah, it's okay to go ahead. If the filibuster is still in place, well, then there's nothing that's going to happen here unless they can get 10 Republicans to come over and vote with them. I don't ever see that happening.
That's right. So if you break this down, you have Mitch McConnell, who has played this in such a way where Manchin was uncomfortable with going ahead with the initial voting rights reform law. Eventually, that sort of his objection filtered away. And meanwhile, at the other end of that, Republicans still remain opposed, and Democrats don't have the votes to block their filibuster. But what this sets up is two different tracks. Democrats are going to walk out of this saying, look, Republicans are not doing enough to protect democracy. They should be doing more. Instead, at the national level, they are not working to secure the right to vote, and Republicans at the state level are making it more difficult to vote. Republicans are going to say, not at all. You know, we need some of these voting reforms to happen at the state level, not at the federal level. And we are using the filibuster, which you now are condemning, mm-hmm. and yet it's also the filibuster that you clung to when you were in, when you were in the minority.
Yeah, in 2017, they held on to that thing like it was a life raft.
Oh, absolutely. That's what's so interesting is that, you have Joe Biden, who has said, the president has said repeatedly that, he would like some changes to the filibuster. He doesn't want it to be, gotten away with completely. But when he talks about abuse of the filibuster, when he talks about how the filibuster has been used disproportionately to slow things down, in recent memory, that was Senate Democrats doing that.
Yeah. Well, and Klobuchar was one that held on to the filibuster tightly back in 2017. And now the very same Klobuchar is notably one of the Democrats who said, we've got to do away with this thing. This is a dirty, filthy, evil, rotten thing. It's amazing how something can change its entire makeup and position in our government just because something changed out the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue.
Absolutely. And so this is really interesting because, if you go back a little bit farther, you had President Trump calling on Mitch McConnell to get rid of the filibuster when Republicans were in control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. And McConnell basically told him to pound sand because McConnell's entire philosophy has been that you should not needlessly mess with the rules of the Senate. He warned Reid about going nuclear and changing the rules so that they could confirm lower court judicial nominees during the Obama era. And then, you know, he turned around and said, look, I warned you not to lower the threshold to 50. And, you know, I'm going to do that for Supreme Court nominees, right? So he's always in touch with how a change in the rules can come back and bite him. And he did not listen to Trump, who called on him to get rid of the legislative filibuster. And right now, this is Republican saving grace.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Well, and at the time, you know, I mean, Donald Trump thought he was destined for the second term.
Right.
And they thought if they could do away with the filibuster, that he would be able to continue to ram through his agenda, which all presidents want to do. And he thought he could do it regardless of any thoughts by any or all of the Democrats. Well, all that has changed. I mean, the entire landscape has changed. Here's the one thing that I want, Philip, and I don't know that we'll ever get there. I want us to get to a constitutional understanding, because the whole thing right now, the entire thing about the filibuster legislation is so that they can get S1, HR1, get that into law, because that changes everything relative to going forward and to elections. Everything that we thought was a minor glitch in the last election would be full blown, and nothing and nobody could stop it. They would eventually, I believe within 10 years, cause us to be a one party government. And all that is laying out there. And some of the very Democrats wanting this, thinking this is the right thing to do, were the very Democrats that just 3 short years ago were absolutely against it.
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting. You're always going to have the party in the minority, clinging to whatever Senate procedure they can to slow things down. I'm not certain that the For the People Act, as Democrats call it, would lead to, you know, one party rule, but it certainly is enough to alarm Republicans who think that it's akin to changing the rules in the middle of the game. You talked about sort of the severity of this. If something like this was going to pass, it would immediately come under constitutional challenge. You would have attorney generals from around the country immediately suing the federal government and challenging this in court. But I think that, you know, what is really interesting is something that we aren't paying attention to right now is, yes, Senate Democrats are focused on this election reform bill. They know it has no chance to pass. But I think the reason why, the White House is, you know, backing this, and the vice president had to come over to the Senate today to vote for Biden's OPM nominee. She'll likely have to come back and break a tie vote to advance for debate. But the reason why the White House is spending political capital on this is because progressives have been pushing them on this point, and progressives have been saying, look, we don't want a infrastructure package compromise. We'd much rather have the fight over this issue. But the thing is, at the end of the day, unless the math changes, this debate, it is just that. It's a debate. Nothing is likely going to change.
Do you feel, here's where I'm stuck here, Philip. In my view, HR1, S1 is totally unconstitutional, because it reaches in and it grabs the control of elections now in the hands of the states and yanks it to the federal level. This is not yanking back something that was at the federal level. It has always been a states' rights issue. If this thing gets yanked away from the states don't matter anymore about anything, because if you can take this away from them, nothing else really matters. And I think it potentially remakes our whole country. I think there are people, I don't know if they'll ever admit it, there are people on the floor of the Senate today that are going to vote to try to get us closer to S1, and there will be a time down the road when they will be grateful that the stupid thing never passed.
You know, it's interesting because we have been talking a lot during this conversation about how nothing is likely going to change. Well, that's not entirely true. These things sort of come in fits. And now it is party orthodoxy among Democrats that the federal government should run these elections. From now on until, you know, unless Democrats have at some moment where they completely change their mind, this is going to be part of their platform. Mm-hmm. And maybe eventually when they have the votes to do it, this is something that they'll try. You know, this is a clarifying moment because if it doesn't work this time, eventually Democrats will try again. And it's sort of shifting the window of what is possible. So they might not have the votes now, but they're laying the groundwork for when they do.
I saw two polls over the weekend. One says currently it's just over 74% that the Senate will be Republican majority after the next election, and 84% that the House will be Republican controlled. You buy that?
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I don't want to make any predictions because I don't make any predictions myself. I think that historically Republicans are set up to have a very good year in the House. Generally, it swings back to the party that doesn't control the White House. Republicans do have a tough Senate map. There's a number of their seats that they have to defend, I think that, you know, there is going to be a serious and significant argument for putting Republicans, you know, back as a check on government. I mean, I think that voters splitting tickets is not as common as it used to be. But I think that, you know, when we see that Republicans actually picked up seats in the House at the same time that Biden won the presidency, mm-hmm. that shows that, you know, there's not a mandate for what Joe Biden wants to do. And I think voters might say, well, wait a minute, there was that $1.9 trillion stimulus, this infrastructure package, however big it ends up being, this is quite a bit of money going out the door, and some of these programs are not, you know, as advertised. I think that, you know, we certainly could see a big swing to deliver Congress for Republicans just on the argument that they can rein in Biden and bring him back to the middle that he campaigned on.
Yeah, and he's slipping very far to the left from that middle. Philip, as always, always appreciate you. If you want to come back on later in the week, based on what happens tonight, holler at me, because I'm pretty sure this will become a key part of our discussion going forward. So you know how to reach me. So, but for today, Philip, thank you so very much.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Yep.
Podcasts by Federated Media.